A lady came to me at Christmas. She had no friends, no living relatives, lived alone, was miserable as sin, and it was Christmas. So I invited her to a party. But then she told me her story. And her story was one of year after year after year of defeat, of setback and rejection. Well, she met a group of local Christians, and things began to happen. And the facial muscles began to change, and she began to smile, and she found her faith in about 5 weeks. Amazing. And this lady was not at all well. And my wife and friend went over, and she was hemorrhaging badly and rushed to hospital. And they said, "You're riddled with cancer. You cannot survive." You would expect that woman, having been given a glimpse of heaven, to say, "What kind of God is this? You know, I feel so much better," and then I fall flat on my face. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. She simply said, "As God wills, as God wills." And I went to see her in Trafford General Hospital, and she was moved from this ward to this ward to this ward, from this hospital to this hospital to this hospital. And wherever she went, she was distributing these prayers and praying with people who are facing serious illnesses. And people just couldn't believe it. The doctors couldn't. The nurses couldn't. The visitors couldn't. And I got a message from the doctors about the fifth hospital she was at saying, "Look, she's not going to last more than an hour. Can you come?" So I got in my car and sped to the hospital, and she died laughing. Her face was absolutely radiant. And I held her hand, and the sister came, look, we're not going to take her away for a moment. Just leave her there. The staff have said they want to come. And suddenly, the doctor and the anaesthetist and the orderlies, and they're all gathering around this corpse in the eyes of the world, this precious lady in our eyes. And I don't know how many there were, certainly not less than 25, which is a lot in a hospital, I think you'll agree. And they said, "We want you to read this prayer, which she has passed to so many." And these people were weeping. There was an explosion of love and joy. And I was asked, could I arrange a funeral? The church was packed. Now remember, here was a lady who had not a friend in the world. It was heaving. They were outside. And in that period of time in her life, God had used her to transform scores of people. How many will have died at the end of this year as Christians in the world because of their faith? How many? 150,000. 150,000 each year die for their faith. How many people are persecuted as Christians for their faith? 250 million at least. At the very first meeting of Maranatha, there were about 150 Catholics and 150 Methodists. I looked and saw a man at the back acting very strangely and, as some people thought, very irresponsibly. He had his hands on people's faces and then he was putting them on the window. And anyway, I thought, well, as we sang a hymn, I'll just go and have a word with him. I said, "Good to see you." And he said, "I can see." I said, "Well, yes, so can I." Better then than I can now. And he said, "But you don't understand." And he showed me his card. "I'm registered blind." He said, "I was born blind." Really? No prayers were said over that man. No hands were laid on him. But the people of God acknowledged God's glory. At the end of the day, we recognized that there had been an absolute miracle. Now, what was my lack of faith? Oh, just hold on. Don't get excited. The sight may disappear again tonight. Go and see your doctor. And then, of course, a fortnight later, I got the message, from a specialist at the Manchester Royal Eye Hospital. Yes, this man was born blind. He can't see. We had a conference at Kinmore Bay. It was a residential conference with 200 or 300 people. My wife said she's met a lady who's brokenhearted because her best friend's son has gone under a car. The man had been drinking too much and the car had gone over his head. That was it. And he was registered clinically dead. And he's there in hospital. It didn't occur to anyone to pray that he should live, because that was stupid. Except one man, Stan from Romilly, stood up and said, I believe we should pray right through the night for Edgar to live. And there was sort of one of those embarrassed silences which you have, and I was part of the embarrassment, and with some reluctance, they said, okay, we'll... And we had a candle, not one of these, a real candle, you know, and we prayed through the night in rotas, you see. Of course, they went to the hospital, and I think they thought there were a group of Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or some cranks on them. But anyway, the doctor straight away said, well, I tell you, this man's clinically dead. It's fine. Well, by the way, the people included one of the world's leading physicists, Dr. Donald, a member of the House of Lords, who shall be nameless, and three others. All fairly solid Englishmen, you know. And they stood there with their hands over Edgar. And Stan said, give us a sign that you've heard our prayer, Lord. And immediately, Edgar, who was lying comatose there, raised his right hand, tried to scratch his nose, but missed by a yard. He was trying to find his nose out here somewhere. And the doctor, with great respect to that profession, we seem to have a lot of doctors in Maranatha, he said, I tell you, the man's dead. And he became quite hysterical and stormed out of the room, and the door closed, at which point the nurse collapsed on the floor. So they were led with the patient and no medical assistance. I won't go into all the interesting stories and the fun, but next day Edgar was sitting up having his breakfast and made a complete recovery. It took a few weeks for the orthopedics to sort out his legs that had multiple fractures. But why am I telling you the story? Because I confess that we did not take God seriously enough. And I believe that we are now being taught, years later, that when Jesus spoke about mountains being moved, he meant real mountains. In Manchester, there's a centre in Chorlton called the Battelle Centre. They're all, with one exception, all big, strong men. And I invited them to one of our meetings a little while ago. It was like going to a bouncers' conference when they came in through the door. These fellows came in, and they, one by one, told their story. And they had raided banks, and they had beaten people up, and they had shot people, and their wives had walked out on them, and their children despised them. And they had walked that highway to Jerusalem. Those people, I believe, will do more to evangelize than all the preachers, teachers, theologians, priests, pastors put together. Why? Because they've been there and they've done it. I plead with you to recognize that these men, largely uneducated, believe in miracles. No, they expect miracles. Sit. Run. Sit, sit, sit. Run, run, run. Sit. Contemplate. Listen. And when you've heard, be obedient and run. We know exactly what God's doing with Maranatha. I said, well, I'm glad to hear it. I don't. And they said, you're called to walk a tightrope. We knew exactly what they meant. It was the balance between intellect and emotion. There are lots of Christians who get the truth of the gospel right, but they never smile, and they never feel, and they never know love. There are people who are so busy loving, they've switched off their brain. And God wants both. The gospel is about listening and then responding to what you hear God say. He doesn't want you to say amen and yes alone. He wants to spring to your feet and run. The people who walk the way of holiness have a right relationship with themselves, a right relationship with God, a right relationship with other people, and a right relationship with all creation. We don't go in belligerently with an anger which is negative and hateful and hurtful. We go into that arena with righteous anger. The young must be protected. The starving must be fed. God has revealed corruption in our banks. God has revealed corruption in the police force. Again, the Hillsborough Report. God has revealed corruption in the press. God has revealed corruption in children's homes. Yes, God has revealed corruption in the church. He is in the business of revelation. This isn't happen chance. And we now face an economic crisis unequaled for 100 years. This is not a financial or economic crisis primarily. This is not even primarily a social crisis. It is a spiritual crisis. Amen.